I'm Rose Scott.
And I'm Dennis O'Hare. On December 13th, back in 2010, President Obama signed what was called the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act of 2010. Now, what this legislation did was authorize all of the federal child nutrition programs, like school breakfast, national school lunch, child and adult care food, summer food service, fresh fruit and vegetable programs, and what's often called WIC, the Women and Children Program.
Now, Congress is grappling with several items, and the budget is the top priority to avoid a shutdown, as we all keep hearing. But anti-hunger advocates are also keeping a close eye on the Child Nutrition and WIC Reauthorization Act and how it's proceeding in Washington. Brett Weissel is the director of advocacy for the national organization Feeding America, and he joins us in studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Someone out there listening says, okay, we have all these programs, but can you really sort of give a snapshot of just how important it is to have the Child Nutrition and WIC Reauthorization Act?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say what's more important than ensuring that our nation's kids have healthy food all the time? And, you know, it has to be one of our top priorities as a country.
Now, there was an article that I recently read in the Orlando Sentinel that cited, look, there also could be some cuts to this. If that happens, and this is what they cited, that could mean a loss of 220 meals per eligible household per year if cuts were made to these programs. Your thoughts when you hear that, Brett?
Well, we obviously don't want cuts. I'm not certain what article you're referring to, but Congress is going to have to pay for it. Every new investment, Congress has to pay for something. And our argument is really this has to be, you know, ensuring our nation's kids have adequate nutrition has to be a top priority, and that they have to find money elsewhere. They can't find money and pay for or cut programs that are within the bailiwick of the child nutrition programs.
And this also affects states, because not every state could maybe pick up where there's a need if these cuts are made.
Yeah, I mean, and we see what happens when cuts happen. People turn to food banks. People look elsewhere. And it has tremendous impact. I heard that, you know, the wonderful fundraising drive with the Atlanta Community Food Bank, who's one of the Feeding America food banks. And when federal programs are cut, where do people go? They go to the food banks. And the food banks, I can tell you right now, our food banks can't sustain additional need like that. They are stretched thin as they are.
So is the problem the cuts, or do you think that there's any real controversy at all about reauthorizing the program itself? It seems as if it's kind of gotten just caught up in the budget battles in Congress, and there isn't anybody out there, at least in any sort of leadership position in Congress, saying let's get rid of it.
Right. That's right. A couple of things. One is, thankfully, the Child Nutrition Bill is one of historically the most bipartisan bills there is in Congress.
Well, it's part of the Agriculture Department.
And it's so rare that you see these days a bipartisan support and bipartisan bill. And historically, it has a ton of bipartisan support. But I think you're right. I think what's happening right now is there are all these other priorities floating around, and Congress is having difficulty focusing and getting things done, as we've seen for the last several years. And our hope is that we can mobilize support to show Congress that this bill is a priority. It has to be a priority, and it has to get done. Because we can't miss this opportunity to strengthen these programs.
But even if it's not reauthorized right away, wouldn't most of the programs keep going?
They would. They would continue
in operation. Would keep going,
and the concern there is that you miss an opportunity. So reauthorization happens once every 5 years.
Right.
And that's your chance. That's your opportunity to make these programs better, make them work better. For instance, right now, about 18% of the kids who receive school lunch meals are getting meals in the summer. So that means about 80% of the kids aren't getting meals in the summer that are eligible for school lunch. And that's a huge gap. That's a huge gap. And reauthorizing these programs, this is our chance to close that gap. And so we don't want this opportunity to miss Congress, because if they can't get it done soon, then all of a sudden you're in December where there are all these other budget conversations happening. And then if you can't get it done in December, then you're looking at an election year. And we all know what happens during election years. You know, nothing.
Is that a concern for you, that you are, advocates like yourself are concerned that, look, as we move into 2016, that some of these issues will sort of be pushed to the back as each candidate is pushing their own agenda and,
yes,
and voters are trying to make up their mind? Meanwhile, people are going hungry.
Yeah, and then you're looking, again, at a missed opportunity. You know, when walking into this Child Nutrition Reauthorization process, our first tenet was do no harm, right? Because we see what happens, and it's just like this, and sometimes the ends don't justify the means, right? But assuming Congress does no harm and works together in a bipartisan way, they've made progress, they can get there. We can't miss this opportunity to make these programs better and make them operate more effectively and efficiently.
We're speaking with Brett Weissel. He's the Director of Advocacy for the National Organization Feeding America, and we're talking about the Child Nutrition and WIC Reauthorization Act. Your organization, Feeding America, relies heavily on data as sort of an indicator to the plight of the hungry in this country. We know that. I'm curious, because since the recession, have we seen an increase or decrease, you think, in folks needing the assistance of a food bank or similar service? Because we've been hearing sort of different, you know, well, it got better for America, for the economy, but for those that really hit sort of a struggle point, they're still struggling.
Yes, and what we saw, as you can imagine, when the recession hit, need for food assistance, need at food banks skyrocketed. And we haven't seen those numbers go down. So they've maintained at a very, very high level. And so it's a huge concern, because at some point, you know, it's going to break the camel's back. I mean, I don't know how long we can sustain such high levels of need. And it's changed from really this, food banking has changed really from people going there for emergencies. Like, you know, they lost a job and they need temporary assistance. And now what we're seeing is it's much more of a chronic solution to food insecurity.
So what you're saying here is that you want, when the reauthorization happens, which it will eventually, you want things like the summer meals program expanded. Do I understand you correctly?
Strengthened. I think that what we can do, you know, we can all play a role in ending hunger in America. Mm-hmm. We've got charity, and charity is a critical component to that. We have the corporate world who helps, you know, give money towards our charities like food banks. And then we have the government piece. And all of them combined can help us get there and help us to end hunger in America.
Do we know, though, and I mean, it sounds like a kind of a cold calculation when you're talking about kids who are really in need of food. Do we know how much expanding the summer meals program and some of the other things you'd like to see strengthen, how much that would cost?
So right now, our priorities for the child nutrition bill are really pragmatic and logical when you think about it. So one thing we'd like to do is see Congress streamline the after-school meals program and the summer meals program. Right now, they are two different programs that essentially serve the same population, but they're operated under two different programs, in some instances under two different agencies at the state level. And there's a ton of paperwork and a ton of red tape that program operators have to deal with. Another priority we're looking at is right now to get one. I mentioned how difficult it is for kids to get meals in the summer. We have about 80% aren't getting meals, and one of the reasons is that essentially by law, kids are required by law to eat the food at a summer meal program on site. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, in the summer there are a lot of logistical challenges to kids getting to those sites, particularly transportation, especially in rural areas.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. We've talked on this program actually about the idea of making some of these sites mobile,
yes,
especially in the summer. So we've talked a good bit about this. Are you saying that this would save money?
I think that what we could do is, yes. One is we could, by streamlining the programs, you're going to cut administrative costs. We are asking for flexibility in how these programs operate. So we talked about how, you know, these kids have to consume the meals on site. And one of the things we're asking for in this legislation, which doesn't exist right now, is a little bit of flexibility so that program operators can maybe send meals home or distribute meals to where the kids are rather than force the kids to come to those sites. And then one final thing we're looking for is to develop a summer EBT program, a summer electronic benefit transfer program. So obviously during the school year, kids have access to school lunch on a regular basis. School's out, all of a sudden, they no longer have access to those meals. And so we're looking for ways that kids can still get access to meals during the summer without those school lunch programs in operation.
I want to move to two separate demographics here, because we've talked about poverty in the suburbs. And my first question is, have your agencies seen a need in that demographic for those in the suburbs needing a food bank? And when you think of food banks, you may not think of the suburbs. You think mostly inner city. So are we seeing a need to have these agencies if they're not there in the suburbs?
Yeah, absolutely. Feeding America conducts the biggest study on hunger in America that there is. And as you can probably imagine, Well, you can't, but hunger is everywhere in every single county, in every single community in this country, even the wealthiest communities and wealthiest counties in this country. And there's this idea that, you know, you may not see it, but it exists. And there's tremendous need out there. And in the suburbs, what we see is, you know, all of a sudden you lose a job, you have a health concern, and just that one thing, that's it. That's all you need. And all of a sudden it destabilizes your life, and you might need help from a food bank.
And what about rural communities? Because then you're also talking about even a greater isolation for being able to get to a food bank or an agency.
Right.
So how are you helping that population?
A lot of meal distribution, mobile meals. Food banks are incredibly innovative, and they come up with innovative ways of reaching the people in their communities. And it's one of the things that I love about our network and our food banks. If there's a problem, they'll figure it out. And so we've come up with a lot of innovative solutions to identify where there's the need and develop solutions to get the food to where it needs to be.
How much of this, because the feds are the big authorizing program here, how much of this, though, actually is done by the states with, in other words, a pipeline to the federal funding?
It depends on the program. There's a lot of states that have their own implementation processes and regulations at the state level. But the federal level is where you can get the authorized and where you get the funding.
Is Georgia, though, able to administer the program, number one, and reach the kids who are most at need at this point? Or are there gaps that you can see?
There are gaps. And again, I point to the summer gap.
Right.
So that is why we're so focused on this child nutrition bill and reauthorizing these programs and looking at the summer as a huge opportunity to improve how these programs operate and how many kids they reach.
Brad, I want to move into just another demographic here, because we often hear about the need for resources for seniors and how even here locally there is an organization, I think it's the Senior Meals on Wheels, and they just recently received a $1 million anonymous gift, which doesn't happen for everybody. But what is Feeding America seeing about this population, the aging population, senior citizens who really, without services, may not get a meal a day?
Yeah, it's skyrocketing. The need from seniors is skyrocketing, particularly with how the demographics in this country are shaping up. With the baby boomers coming into retirement. And it's a real, real concern, because seniors often aren't as willing to go get help, or they have very serious logistical challenges to getting assistance. And so, you know, it's going to be an increased concern as we figure out how this population ages and how we can ensure that they don't go hungry.
And would they then fall under any of the existing programs that are under the authorization debate right now, or would we have to come up with something new?
There are programs targeted at seniors in existence that are not part of the child nutrition reauthorization process. One example is the commodity supplemental food program, which is targeted at seniors and providing meals that are would fit a senior's needs.
Real quickly, how much of this drive for the children's programs and families is tied to the push for an increase in the minimum wage? Would that, if, you know, politically that's a tough sell right now, but if that were to go up, would the need, or would the demand at least, would some of the numbers needing this kind of assistance go down?
I would say I'm not an economist, and so I'm not sure I can answer that question. We can all agree that wages and jobs are important and are going to have an impact on poverty in this country. I'm not an economist, and so I can't necessarily speak to that. But I would say is that right now, what is politically feasible is getting this child nutrition bill done. It can be done.
How are you all funded, Brett? How do you all, and will this impact the strain that's put on your organization to help your partner agencies in the states?
So Feeding America is a nonprofit.
Sure.
We get funding from folks just like you guys and do lots of fundraising outreach. Yeah, absolutely. So I think what we've seen is that when demand goes up, as you can imagine, our resources are needed more. And so we very much fluctuate with the economy. But again, what we're seeing now is that demand goes up and it doesn't quite go down again.
What's your operating budget?
I'm sorry?
Do you know your operating budget?
Oh, I don't. I'm sorry. It's we're one of the largest nonprofits in the country.
I
believe second or third at this point. I do not know our operating budget, though.
All right.
Brett Weisel is the Director of Advocacy for the national organization Feeding America. We've been looking at the Child Nutrition and WIC Reauthorization Act, which is now in Congress as it tries to sort out where we go on a budget for the country. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks
for having me.
Appreciate it.